Merry Christmas, Smutters.
Merry Christmas.
All right. How's your week been?
It's been all right. It's been long.
It has been a crazy week. I'm kind of like excited for things to get back to normal.
I'm ready for actual snow. I haven't seen any snow yet.
Yeah, it's really hot today to be Christmas Eve.
Yeah, like I just went out in short sleeves and shorts. It's 60 degrees.
Yeah.
Weird.
Okay, so I have a question.
We are on our what? Our Christmas Eve special?
Yes. So, when you were little for Christmas, do you have a toy that you got that you just will always remember?
The He-Man Castle Grayskull Slime Pit.
That's so freaking cool. I never got that.
Sorry.
For me, do you have a story that goes with that? Or
no.
Okay. So, for me, I remember waking up and running to the Christmas tree, and I had the My Little Pony Estates all set up and, a bunch of My Little Ponies, and it had a swimming pool. They all had their own little house. And it was, the coolest thing ever. So, I love that. And, I'll always remember that one, I think. So.
Well, that's cool.
Yes.
But I do find your lack of cheer disturbing.
Hey, I am as cheerful as they get.
Sorry, Jesus. Your birthday sucks.
So, can you guess what we're doing tonight?
I don't have a clue what we're doing tonight.
Well, with it being our Christmas episode, we decided to be basic bitches this year. And we're going to do Krampus again. But I found stories about Krampus. Yay.
Who?
Krampus.
Oh, Krampus.
Yes.
I can relate. I want one.
A raccoon.
Little bank robbers.
Oh my gosh, they're so stinking cute.
They are cute.
Okay, so.
So, anyways, anything crazy happened here lately? I mean, other than the normal inflation and everything being expensive right now?
Not really. I mean, not that I can think of, but truly.
I haven't really seen anything either.
Well, truly, I mean, we've worked so much this week. I don't think we've had any time to really check it out or anything,
I guess so.
But let's go ahead and dive on in. The legend of Krampus.
You do know that the House of Dragon 2 trailer came out.
I haven't seen it yet. Or have I?
I thought you had.
I have seen it because she's going after that little shit that killed her son.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We set?
I wrecked him.
All right.
Damn near killed him.
Long before Santa Claus, there was Saint Nicholas, the beloved folk hero of early Christianity who traveled across the world every December bestowing gifts upon all the good boys and girls. Unlike Santa Claus, the tale of Saint Nick was born of a real man, a bishop from the early first century who is notorious for his generosity. He loved to give gifts, he worked in charity, he would travel the countryside, helping anybody in need and spreading joy. When he died on December 6th, the day was marked with a festival of goodwill known as St. Nicholas Day. And that continued for many centuries and eventually evolved, along with the pagan festival of Yule, into the Christmas we know and love today. While St. Nicholas himself may have aged out over the centuries, especially in the New World, he was recently returned to the public eye, not because of the man he was or the legend he became, for a much more sinister reason. It was the dark company he kept. And we are talking about Krampus.
Ooh.
Now, Krampus, whose name is derived from the German word Krampen, meaning claw.
What about Belschnickel?
Belschnickel? We did Belschnickel one year.
I'm just thinking of The Office.
I know. Is a satyr-like figure of ancient folklore.
Did you say Vader?
Figure.
A Vader figure?
A satyr-like figure. Of ancient folklore, who has long terrorized Central Europe, accompanying Saint Nick on his travels and violently sifting the naughty children from the nice. He is often portrayed as a devil-like figure with black or dark brown hair covering his body. He also has cloven hooves, goat-like horns, razor-sharp fangs, and a long, lolling tongue hanging from his mouth.
You ever heard about the Yule Cat?
Yeah, we did an episode on it.
Okay.
I'm telling you, we've done episode, like, our first year of podcasting, our very first Christmas, I got so excited. We did an episode every night that week, and we did every single tradition in the world. I think we did. For every good boy and girl that St. Nicholas rewards, there are dozens of others who don't make the cut. They are left for Krampus to be whipped with a birch switch or even stuffed into a sack and carried away to his lair to be tortured and eaten. His image has evolved over the years, getting less goat-like and more devilish, but his evil intentions have remained the same, providing the motivation children need to behave around the holidays and the punishment they deserve if they fail to do so. Many believe that the origin of Krampus predates Christianity, and there is no doubt that there are some interesting parallels between his lore and that of other pagan figures. But it isn't until St. Nicholas and his holiday that Krampus really started to make an impression. Looking back on a long history of Central European folklore, many of which contain harsh moral lessons for children, usually under the threat of unrestrained violence by horrific figures, it is not hard to understand how someone like Krampus came to be. With St. Nick starting to make his rounds every December 6, bringing candy and dried fruits to all the good boys and girls, it's only natural that a balance should form. After all, the only thing more motivating than rewarding good deeds is punishing the bad. But as Krampus became entangled with St. Nick and Christianity in the Middle Ages, the holiday taking on more and more traditional dogma, the image of Krampus himself began to change, becoming less animalistic and more akin to the representation of the devil himself. His horns got longer, his face more human-like, and even his tongue began to hang low from his mouth, like representations of Satan in the Good Book. What once was a birch switch became a whip, and what was once his lair in the woods where he feasted on children became an eternity of damnation in hell itself. In fact, the more Krampus was tied into Christian dogma and the more satanic he became, the less welcome he was at the festivities. The superstitious people who once embraced him as a folk anti-hero started banning him completely from the holiday for fear of tempting the devil himself. Eventually, Krampus would fall off completely in the modern world, celebrated only in remote villages that still held on to the old ways. And as St. Nicholas Day evolved into Christmas, and the holiday took one more of its kid-friendly lore and traditions, Krampus would almost disappear completely. Almost. For many centuries, the legend of Krampus stayed within his boundaries, remembered in small corners of Europe, but otherwise unheard of in most of the world. America included, but in the past decade, there has been a resurgence of Krampus culture that has even made its way to the Western Hemisphere. So much of one, in fact, that it is difficult to find. Yeah, that's the Krampus parade. Is that not crazy?
That's weird.
You know what they do? They are allowed to go beat people. Like, they have a stick, and if they see you out, they'll come up and hit you with it. Like, people run around and try to get away from them because they'll get you.
Look at that. That's crazy.
Can you save that?
Yeah.
Or send it to me and I'll repost it? Yeah, you guys, Troy just found the Krampus Parade, the one that they have every year in Austria. And I'll post it to our story. Be sure to check it out because, y'all, it's scary stuff. I mean, it truly is. And people totally get into it. Okay. Let's see. It is difficult to find someone who has not heard of Krampus, either from one of the many movies made in the past few years, his appearance in popular TV shows and cartoons, or from being featured on countless pieces of holiday swag. Somehow, Krampus has made a comeback, whether it is a response to the over-commercialization of Christmas, its descent into holly jolly extremism, or just the planets aligning in ways we haven't seen since the days of pagans. Krampus has now become a part of Christmas. People around the world have returned to the old ways, dressing up in costumes, holding parades, handing out holiday cards, and doing everything they can to bring a little darkness back into a white Christmas. And it all starts with Krampusnacht. December 6th may have been the day for St. Nicholas and his selfless endeavor to put a smile on the face of children everywhere, but the night before has long been a night of mayhem, merriment, and moral ambiguity. A night for Krampus, known as Krampusnacht, or Krampus Night. The eve of December 5th is when Krampus stalks the streets, bringing mischief to townfolk and punishing every naughty child in his wake. In the past, it was a time for bedtime stories, a warning to excited children that they must behave one more night if they wish to be visited by St. Nicholas in the morning and not carried away in Krampus's sack to be tortured and eaten. Now the tradition has returned in many Central European cities, especially among the young who have resurrected Krampus Night and filled it with celebrations, festivities, and customs new and old. Look at that, Krampus.
That was cool.
Krampuslauf. Krampuslauf, or Krampus Run, has had recent growth in popularity in countries like Austria, Germany, Hungary, and the Czech Republic, putting the public's love or dread of Krampus back on the streets to be celebrated. This parade, usually practiced on Krampusnacht, invites people to dress up in their scariest Krampus costumes, complete with goat fur, long horns, handcrafted weapons, and whatever else their imagination and craftsmanship can afford them. Even in freezing cold temperatures, they march on, teasing onlookers and injecting the fear of Krampus into their hearts. They are often joined by revelers, young and old, costumed or not, as they share in their fascination with the Dark Santa, as well as the tradition that he represents. Not unlike a Halloween parade, these spectacles are a sight to see, and every year the costume and theatrics are expanded and intensified, making it one of the most exciting events of the year in many cities and villages across Europe. And it doesn't end there. Since the early 19th century, Central European countries have celebrated the season with an unusual custom, one that may seem somewhat similar to our beloved tradition of exchanging Christmas cards with good tidings, but with a much darker twist. Krampusgarten, or Krampus cards, are holiday cards that featured the cloven-hoofed friend himself, often shown threatening small children with his birch switch or even violently abducting them and carrying them away in his sack. Usually containing humorous rhymes or poetry, not to mention the occasional bawdy or buxom lass, it is not unusual to find over-the-top sexual innuendo or other adult themes that harken back to an era where Christmas had a dark and sordid side. These gruesome greeting cards have since become a perfect stocking stuffer for the strange and unusual among us, and while they may not have taken off at Hallmark, they have become a popular alternative to many people who appreciate the Krampus lore. Now, whether or not Krampus poses a threat to today's children, there is no doubt that this legend will live on, a reminder of a time when Christmas was more than just holiday cards, cookies, and milk, and a jolly old man who brings joy to every boy and girl. In fact, as far as we're concerned, the world could use a little more Krampus in it, because the Christmas we celebrate now is a shadow of its former self, which has a macabre history as rich as it is terrifying, and puts our candy-coated Halloween to shame. So be sure to celebrate the roots of this festival holiday, both the light and the dark, and remember that while it is always nice to reward the good, it can be so much more fun to punish the wicked, especially on Krampusnacht. What do you think?
Crazy.
I think that we must go see Krampusnacht. What do you think?
Of course.
Absolutely. So book our plane tickets next year to Austria.
Actually, the hell with it. I'm just doing it now.
Let's just do it now.
Yep, the hell
every
with
day.
It. Yep, forget it.
Krampus knocked us every day.
I'm done with this crap anyway.
Let's just do what we want to do. I love that.
I would rather, instead of this life we're living, I would rather just live on a beach somewhere from like a large inheritance.
Same.
Than work.
Same. I don't know though. Like I love doing the podcast. You know, it's like my favorite thing to do. But yeah, that's all I want to do. Live on a beach, inheritance, and this. I'd be happy.
So, I think I might learn to surf.
Shut your face. I've always
never
wanted...
said anything ever about
oh
surfing.
Oh my God.
Do you even know how to spell surf? I've never heard you mention it ever.
Oh my gosh. I talk about wanting to surf all the time. That's crazy. Okay. So we have a couple Krampus stories that I found on Reddit. Because I heard another podcast do a Krampus story and the Krampus ended up eating their new puppy. So, anyway, this is called My Real Encounter with Krampus as a Young Boy. Let's see where this goes. Growing up, I never heard about anything evil when it came to Christmas. My parents always took me to see Santa every year, and I never got coal in my stockings. I believed in Santa up until about age 9, so every year I always acted super good in the months leading up to Christmas. You know, as a kid, you want to get as many presents as possible, and I still remember the excitement I would get every year. That same year, my parents worked a lot of late nights so they could always leave me with my older sister, who was 16 at the time. I never really got along with her until now, as we're now adults that don't live with each other. My sister was especially mean that year, inviting her boyfriend over some nights. I would threaten to tell Mom if she brought him over again. And my kid mind would make other ridiculous threats, such as the fact that I would tell Santa so he would put coal in her stocking because she wasn't following the rules. One day, she had had enough of my bickering and retaliated. She started out with, "You know what's even worse than getting coal in your stocking?"
Razor blades?
That too. Of course, me being a curious little boy, I pressed for information. "What's worse?" I would ask with a little attitude. And then she said it. Krampus. I remember the nerve it struck when she said that name. Of course, I didn't know who or what Krampus was, but it just sounded bad. What's Krampus? I can still see her evil grin ingrained in my memory when she told me. "Well, you know Santa isn't real, right?" I always had a sneaking suspicion, but of course I asked, "What do you mean?" "Don't pretend you don't know Mom and Dad buy all your gifts, and the guy you go see at the mall you call Santa is just a man in a beard doing a job." I wasn't really surprised. This just confirmed my skepticism of Santa. "But do you know what is real?" she continued. "Krampus, the evil spirit that comes and takes little boys like you to the underworld." My impressionable mind believed every word she said, and I was terrified. "He comes and takes little boys that tattle. All you need to do is tattle 3 times during the Christmas season, and Krampus, the Christmas demon, comes to get you." Her twisted little mind even brought up 2 other times I snitched on her for something stupid within the past week. This alone freaked me out because 1 week later, I tattled on her for eating my Pop-Tart off my plate. After I tattled, I thought about what she told me the week before. The true legend states that Krampus comes to punish children who misbehave. So my sister had twisted the story in her favor. Anyway, this is where things got weird. This was the same year I realized I was attracted to women. I was in my parents' room one night when they were gone, and I was looking for batteries for my RC car and went snooping through doors. Lo and behold, I found my dad's Playboy stash. I looked through that thing for a good half an hour before putting it back. This was a busy Christmas season. The same year I realized Santa was not real was the same year I discovered women. And that point, nothing had happened with Krampus. So I chalked up the story to my sister trying to scare me. But I think looking at the magazine was a big mistake. And to this day, the reason why I got a visit, it was that same night. If I'm not mistaken, Christmas was just days away. I woke up in the middle of the night, extremely thirsty. The house was pitch black, except for an overhanging microwave light in the kitchen. I got my water, and then I headed back to my room. It was at that moment when I heard a noise on the roof. And I remember thinking, I love that. Send that to me.
I'm finding Krampus stuff, guys.
Yeah, he's sending me Krampus stuff to post. I remember thinking if I was second-guessing myself about Santa being real or not. I whispered to myself, Santa? I walked towards the window, and I saw what I thought was a deer outside the window. I thought maybe the noise came from the deck and not the roof. Maybe the deer just walked on our deck and jumped into the yard. But I took a closer look and realized I may not be looking at a deer. It turned around, revealing its really large body and glowing red eyes. The antlers were not antlers, but horns. And I remember thinking that it looked like Beast from Beauty and the Beast. I was frozen in fear as I saw the creature start walking towards me, and we locked gazes. And then he smiled. His teeth were razor sharp. Then he jumped straight up out of sight, like he jumped straight in the sky and into thin air. I immediately ran into my sister's room, and I shook her awake in a state of fear, explained that I saw Krampus. It was then, through her groggy tiredness, that she admitted she made it all up. She got up and walked me back to my room. She flipped the light on and gave me a shocked look. I looked back at her. What? What the hell is this? She leaned toward my bed and picked up a magazine. It was the Playboy magazine. I was shocked. I did not know what to say. I mean, I was just baffled, and all I managed to spew out was, that's Dad's. Of course it's Dad's, you freak, she replied. I tried to convince her that I didn't know how it got there, but she didn't believe a word I said. And just then she stopped me. If I catch you with this again, I'm going straight to Mom and Dad. I just looked down and agreed. Okay. Luckily, my sister was cool with it, and to this day, I've never figured out how that magazine got there or what that creature was that I saw outside. All I can say is that it is very possible I saw the real Krampus that night, and I was being warned for misbehaving. My sister and I have never spoken again about that night. I'm honestly too afraid to bring it up. Hopefully, I will never have another encounter with Krampus. Oh.
Chills.
Wow. All right. Let's see here.
You have more stories?
Of course I do.
Imagine that. You're like the Energizer Bunny.
Sure am. Okay. My experience with Krampus. Okay. You ready?
I'm Reggie.
This is kind of a long one. Sorry, y'all. Our dogs keep licking and making all these noises like they wait till we start recording.
It's driving me insane. I can't handle that crap.
Like, I guarantee y'all just heard Troy to tell them to stop it. They're so good all day, and then once the mic comes on, they're like, let's make all the noise we possibly can. Okay. I was only 6 years old when it happened back in 2009. I lived in a small town near the Florida tip of the Bermuda Triangle. I was going to elementary school that year. I remember fantasizing about piloting a jet to fire a missile onto the school. I hated going there and leaving my parents to learn. I hated the way the teachers taught me. But most of all, I was once one of the bullies who often made fun of or beat up the one kid who wasn't Christian. That kid was a scared little boy. He was. The teachers didn't even care, since we were in a Christian school and the kid was thinking of transferring soon to go Montessori. Come the end of the autumn semester, I was committing the acts of evil as usual.
Treason.
The kid said, I suspect you have more insults and fists for me today. I retorted, you're never getting on the nice list, for sure. He yelled back, wait till the dreaded Krampus gets you. He'll get you and all your sick Christian gang. Damn.
So harsh.
I retorted again, nope, you're getting coal in your pants. Let me just say it, the kid shouted. Krampus girl, Krampus girl, Krampus girl, he chanted at me. At the last day, the teacher gave us a surprise exam about Christ. One of the questions jumped off the page. True or false? God loves you and forgives you for your sins. The kid answered false. I answered true. The day after our report cards came in, the atheist kid got very bad grades and me the good ones. But the question kept echoing in my mind. Days went by, and I couldn't get the weird feeling out of me that the kid wasn't so naughty after all. I kept getting strange feelings all over my body, like maybe the Christian school was the evil thing. The boy's chant rang in my head. Krampus girl, Krampus girl, Krampus girl. Christmas Eve. I had been getting the stockings put up and the chimney ready for Santa Claus and the tree decorated with the help of my family. Mom was the nicest of all of my family. She helped me believe in the love God had blessed us with. And on the tree, we hung ornaments of pastel colors, reindeer, Santa, and my favorite one with the manger of the birth of Jesus. The whole day, though, the questions got louder and louder in my mind. True or false? God loves you and forgives you for your sins. And the boy's chant kept ringing, but on that day, it was much louder than ever, to the point where I was getting a migraine. Krampus girl, Krampus girl, Krampus girl. It was getting hard to take that day. While we were decorating, I just walked off to lie down and take a break, but that didn't help. Dad took me off the bed and told me that I had to stay up to finish decorations or I'd be on the naughty list. What a dick. So I hung the last ornament and just walked off to bed. I knew that the earlier I slept, the earlier Christmas would come. I woke up to find myself inside something I couldn't describe. The only light inside was that of a lamp hidden in it. There were other kids and people with me, and they exchanged worried glances. The kids insisted inside me. Let's start. Not the kids inside me. The kids inside with me were just confused. It felt like we were moving in a vehicle of some sort. And I found myself sitting on pins and needles for a moment. And when I looked down to see what was giving me that feeling, I froze. Sticks of various sizes, shapes, and forms. Random rocks scattered out below my legs. I looked around to see if I could find someone I know, and then I realized that some of the kids in here were my classmates in school. And I looked around to find the boy that I had bullied, only to notice he was nowhere to be found. I talked to my closest friend. Hey, Addie, I whispered, what's going on? I don't know, Mary, she replied, but I think we messed up bad. How so? I asked. I think Trey wished this on us. And then I talked to one of the adults. What's happening? I asked. I don't know, but I have a bad feeling about this, Mary. How do you know who I am? I'm Sarah's mom. She's told me a lot about you. I'm Janice's mom, Mary. I'm sure if we pray, we'll be home safe. Mama, shut up. Then the question rang even louder. True or false? God loves you and forgives you for your sins. And it dawned on me that the correct answer, as said on the answer sheet, wasn't true. And the boy's chant of calling me names rang in my head the loudest it had ever been. Krampus girl, Krampus girl. I looked all around me to figure out my surroundings, and I knew from the moment I woke up that I was under some sort of blanket. I looked somewhere above me, and it dawned on me that me, my classmates, my family, and their families were being kidnapped. We were actually in a bag. And then it all made sense. Krampus took us. I cried out, help, help. Quiet, nasty little girl, a gravely voice called out from outside the bag. I thought the gravely voice probably belonged to Krampus, and I was scared stiff like a woman who just saw a rat in her dress. Help, my closest friend cried out. Quiet, you rotten apple. Wow. The same voice called out. You son of a bitch. Dad's voice was cut off with a rather loud, creepy voice. Don't make a noise, you demonic animal. and I heard a muffled snap. I looked at Dad, and he was pinned down by the sticks, as if the sticks couldn't snap and as if they were magical. We all stopped making a noise after that, and my heart was beating faster and faster as we were going towards the destination. The thing we were in opened only to show a view of a creepy, nasty-looking face with horns protruding from the head. It spoke in the same gravelly voice. "Now you people have been very naughty." It dawned on me that I was seeing Krampus. The boy I had bullied told me I'd get this fate. We were dumped out in this strange snowy spot within a forest of some sort. Not many of us were wearing coats, but all of us were in our pajamas. He then looked at a paper of some form, and he appeared to be reading off it. "Mary Wendell, Sarah Smith, Janice Carpenter, Gerald Wendell, Maddie Wendell, Hilda Smith, Cal Smith." The list went on. He had brought in hundreds of people. I could only think many weren't from the United States. I saw a lot of blondes, a lot of people who spoke some language I didn't recognize. It dawned on me that they were Christians, and I only figured this out because I recognized their method of praying. My name had been the first one right on the list, and we were forced by these strange, creepy things to the center of the circle all at once, and Krampus left the surrounding area for a minute, and then something like a net dropped down on us. We struggled to get out, but to no avail. It was like we were caught in a spider's web. I then sniffed, and there was a smell of smoke. We all exchanged worried glances, and suddenly an adult yelled out something I couldn't comprehend, but then I noticed the fire. I realized she was telling us that she was on fire. We were trying to run for safety, but the stop, drop, and roll procedure, but soon we were all caught in the raging flames, and I wondered by the boy I bullied why he wasn't with us. And then the flames were put out in some way. First, a burning flame, then cold water splashed onto us to make us freeze. The net was burned away, and I knew it was only the start. And then the strange things came back, and I felt sharp pain on my cheek. The things then tied us up and hung us upside down from the trees. And then I heard cries of agony. We were getting whipped on our backs and heads by these strange things. I was crying too, but it was far worse than it sounded. I was crying in pain and fear, but it seemed to make the things happy. The adults were getting more beatings than the children. Then we were forced to sit through a long poem read by Krampus about the true spirit of being human and about what God really does. And each line was followed with Krampus scratching a chalkboard with his claws while holding the paper in the other hand. The strange things had kept us tied up through the whole poem so we couldn't cover our ears. After that, it was followed by getting thrown in a bag filled with the same rocks and sticks. The grown-ups were wearing shocked looks on their faces, and the children, especially my classmates, all shared a face that said they were never going to forget this. And I wondered why the boy I bullied wasn't even going through this. I woke up to find myself laying around the Christmas tree I decorated, and my family was laying around me too. I started to think it was all a nightmare until I noticed the scars on my mom's back and my dad's face, and then I went to the bathroom and found blood all over my pajamas. I then asked Mom to call my closest friend's mom to see if she was okay. "Mary, I hate to say this, but I think I'm quitting church." "Me too, Helen." Apparently, after that horrible experience, me and my friends and our families decided to quit being Christian and do something with our lives. And much to my surprise, I found myself freer than I thought I was. Now I'm a secular therapist for those with religious trauma syndrome. And I've become friends with Trey. I apologized to him profusely when I started going to the Montessori, so much so that the pain was coming back. But he forgave me. He recognized my remorse about being awful to him. Addie succumbed to her injuries after that Christmas. I miss her, and I hope she lives well. I was told that her last words were, "I know what I did was unforgivable, but please forgive me, and I'm sorry." Sarah went on to become a gym teacher at a high school. She is helping the teenagers get stronger, and Sarah often tells me that the teens ask how she got her scars. Janice is teaching a night class to help immigrants become citizens of the United States, and some of those people were with us that Christmas, and she has told me that one of them even asked her about me. In my research on Krampus, I now realize that what we experienced was him acting out of his will on us. And since he only does it to the naughty people, Trey was actually a good kid. And when Yuletide comes, I hope you guys have a wonderful time And don't do anything awfully naughty. And that was the end.
You know how I think of Krampus?
How?
From American Dad.
Grampus.
And they sang that song. And the candlestick sing, the broom sing.
It's such a good song, too. Okay, let's see.
You all right?
Yes.
Getting a little choked up there?
We have one last story, and it's a short one. And we will be done, and everybody can go celebrate their Christmas time. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, all. Just found this and thought you guys might like to read this short piece I wrote based on writing prompt from the writing prompt sub. I may expand this into a longer project, maybe a novella, but the prompt was everybody knows about Santa's toy workshop in the North Pole. Less talked about are the lower class elves who slave away in the South Pole's coal mines, gathering the rocks to fill the stockings of naughty children. Hope you enjoy reading it. So, everybody knows about Santa's toy workshop in the North Pole. Now, less talked about are the lower class elves who slave away in the South Pole's coal mines, gathering the rocks to fill the stockings of naughty children. Ooh, sorry, y'all. The working conditions in the mines were barely tolerable, and it was hot, filthy, and generally unpleasant. There was no sun, nor feeling of comfort. And every year it's the same thing. Glugagagger grumbled. He was a grizzled old elf with a long, scraggly gray beard and a miserable droop to his large, pointed ears. The blue overalls he wore were covered in coal dust, and his ruddy face was also blackened with the stuff. We spend the week leading up to Christmas stuck down here while Santa's elves get to hang out in their nice, clean toy shop. At least they have air conditioning. Quit your complaining, will you? Rupert grunted from his position down the lawn. It's Christmas Eve. The sooner we get this done, the sooner we can stop. Heads up, guys, Belschnickel yelled from the mouth of the mines. There you go. Belschnickel was a supervisor and head elf despite being the youngest. Others resented him for this, and he was often the butt of their jokes. But the words, heads up, always got their undivided attention as they knew what was to come next. The boss is coming. The other elves froze, standing at attention, and the very air itself filled with tension as they heard the boss's footfalls approaching. The heavy clip-clop of his cloven hooves. Moments later, his towering form came into view. His yellow eyes glinted in the light of the flaming torches that lined the walls.
Yes, yes.
And the tips of his sharp horns scratched the rocky ceiling as the mine barely accommodated his 7-foot-tall frame. He eyed the sacks of coal critically, not speaking a word for what felt like an eternity. Nice job, boys, Krampus spoke. His tone was soft and almost deadpan, but edged with approval. Let's go visit some naughty children, shall we? He does sound like a pedo, doesn't he? The sleigh landed in the snow on the quiet, lamplit street, surprisingly silent considering its size.
You know who's going to be sitting there waiting for him? Chris Hansen.
Where were you going tonight, sir? Go visit some friends. Krampus glanced up at the... Oh my goodness, do y'all hear Riggins in the background? Krampus glanced up at the roof and spotted a second sleigh. This one in pristine condition with crimson velvet seats and 9 reindeer tied to it. Rudolph, with his iconic glowing red nose, was leading the team as usual. Good, Krampus said to himself. Looks like we're on time. Belschnickel and the other elves followed close behind as Krampus dismounted from the sleigh, his crimson cloak sweeping across the ground as he moved. He slung the sack of coal across his back and with a great leap hauled himself up onto the roof. He hushed the reindeer as they startled at his presence and then slid down the chimney. Below, the elves expertly picked the lock and entered through the front door as silently as gentle breeze. Standing beside the tree in the living room was Krampus's counterpart, Santa Claus. He looked up as Krampus pulled himself out of the fireplace and rose to his full height. "Oh, you're here, brother," Santa greeted him. "I am," Krampus replied. I suppose you've checked your list." "Twice," the older man confirmed. "It's such a shame Johnny's been so naughty again this year. Why can't he be more like his sister?" "I know," Krampus agreed, setting his sack on the floor and taking out some coal. "Perhaps he'll learn this time." He slipped the coal into Johnny's stocking that hung on the mantle, and Santa had already filled Susie's with small toys. "Well," Krampus said, "that's my job done. On to the next house." "It was good to see you again, brother," Santa said. Krampus hesitated before giving him a nod. "You too," he said, before disappearing up the chimney once more, returning to his sleigh. He lifted his head and howled long and low, summoning his elves. They came as they were called, and as Krampus flicked the reins, the Yule goats bleated enthusiastically before taking flight once more. And that is the end.
That is the end of Krampus.
That is the end of Krampus. I like that story. Mm-hmm. I liked how it had a little bit of everybody in it. That was my favorite one, I think.
Yeah, including Chris Hansen.
And it even had Chris Hansen making sure that they weren't going to visit any 14-year-old girls. So, perfect. Wonderful. All right, Smutters. I hope you guys have an absolutely fantastic Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thank you guys for joining us. I hope you enjoyed our scary Krampus Christmas. And we will see you guys next Sunday.
Bye.
Bye.